let's just all bow our heads just for a moment. Let's focus on him for a moment. Father, we just thank you so much that you are so good. That you brought us through another year. And that you've got great things in store for us in 2022. Lord, we just thank you that you did many awesome, wonderful miracles and works and signs and wonders and did great things. But Father, we're not content with 2021. Lord, we're going after 2022 with what you have for us, Father. We want more of you, Father. We're so happy with what you've done. We're not ungrateful, Father. We're very grateful. But we serve the God of the universe. We serve an all-powerful Lord and King who did everything for us. And so, Father, we know you have great things in store for us, and we just want to go after you this year like never before and want to see things done like never before. So, Lord, we are contending. We are going for it. In 2022, the great things that you have in store for us, the conquering of giants, Father, the seeing of miracles, the seeing of signs and wonders, Father, the prodigals returning home, God, families being restored. Lord, we're just looking forward to that. And we say thank you, Father, up front or right now. We say thank you as a declaration of our faith. We say thank you right now that there are people coming home, oh God, home into your kingdom, that have been lost, Father, through either COVID or through something else, that have been derailed, Father. We thank you right now that people are coming home. And Lord, people are coming to know you even in a greater way, Father, that you're going to do awesome works this year. And we just praise your name in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on. I believe it. This is the house. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right. Well, I like telling stories. And the reason why I like telling stories is it gives you a window into my life. And so I like being a little bit transparent. Maybe you don't like stories, and I'm sorry for you if you do. Everybody loves stories. I don't know why you wouldn't. Same people that don't like oranges don't like stories. It's the same people. Same people. Same people. But I just want to tell you a little story. And it goes along with my sermon. And my little one is always going to be around. How many of you love our little ones, don't we? Don't we? We love our little ones. You know what? So a little story real quick. And I'm going to give you three scenarios of what might have happened in this story. I'm going to give you a multiple choice of what my response was in this story. So the story is, I was going to my grandma's house. She lives in a big round and green house, which if you know her, then that's what she lived in. It was crazy. It was interesting. I ran around in circles for hours and never felt like I got anywhere. But, so we would. I was a teenager at the time, and I was going down there to help her out with something at night. And I'm just walking down. And there's a few street lights in our area, so I was going down there, walking around. And I start seeing something while I'm in the grass in the yard. I start seeing something out of the shadows kind of coming towards me. And I'm like, what is that? I can't quite see it. It's a little dark, so I can't quite see it really well. And then I'm looking a little more, and I see it's getting closer. I'm like, well, what really is going on here? Because something's getting closer. I can't quite see it. And then I saw something. And if you are in the country, you realize if you see a white stripe on something that's black running at you, the fear of God will come in you. Those city people don't know what that is, but us country folk know what that is. And I saw that white stripe. And I was like, dear Jesus, what am I going to do? And let me give you a multiple choice of three things that might have happened, okay? So I'm going to act them out for you. Three things that might have happened. Are you ready for those? Are you ready? So let me know which one you think it really is. So this is my first response. Crikey, that there's a skunk. It is one of the smelliest animals I've ever seen. I'm going to go touch it. Oh, it's angry. It's angry. You know, now that might have been one of my responses. I don't know. You have to tell me. Or another one of my responses could have been this. How do you do that, Mr. Skunk? Oh, you speak skunkanese. I'm so sorry. My apologies. I was speaking skunkish. Oh, really? with the missus. Oh, poor chap. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, we'll have to schedule some type of a marriage seminar for you and your missus. And so maybe we can help you out. Oh, yes. Have a great day. Take care. Good old chap. Now, y'all didn't know that that movie was about me, did you? They took that biography of my life of Dr. Doolittle and put it in, that was my life. It should have been Dr. Hussey. But you know what? That's how it goes. So, or that was scenario two. Now, maybe scenario three was this. This is what I might have done. Ah! And ran. So what do you think I did? What do you think I really did?
Number three.
You got it. I ran so fast. I didn't even look back behind me. I was like, it's gone. I'm gone. I'll see you, Grandma. I'm not coming around here for a while. But how many of you know that there are some times where you have to stay and fight, and there's some times where you have to flight? And in this season, I really believe that we are supposed to fight. Because today my sermon is called Fight or Flight, and today we're going to be talking about fighting. Okay? So there are times when we're supposed to fight, and there are times when we're supposed to flight, but this season, for this house, I really believe the Lord has spoke to me, it's a time to fight. And fighting means to participate or face something and struggle through it. To participate or face something and struggle through it. And the scriptures that came to my heart when I was praying about this was 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. We don't wage war with tanks or missiles or guns. We do it through the power of prayer. Through worship. Also, the Lord gave me this scripture, Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this darkness, of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
This is what we're going after. We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against our authorities. We're fighting against the evil, the demonic, the things that are controlling or oppressing our authority figures. The word also says, but fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. Come on, he's with us. And for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I really believe that for this house, this is the word that I really felt like, that fighting gives us experience to conquer greater foes. I'll say it again because that's good. That's good. Come on, that's good. Fighting gives us experience to conquer greater foes. I don't know what foes have been in your life. I don't know what's going on with your situations. But I know I serve a God and King who is bigger than all of those things.
Amen.
He is bigger than all those things. He can help us win the battle. But before we start fighting, there's three things that we must remember. Three things we must remember, okay? So number one, we have to remember at all times of knowing who we are. We have to remember who we are. Because that's the basis of everything. If we don't know who we are, then we don't know anything. Then we are without vision. Then we are without, you know, without identity. And we've seen what happens to people that without identity. They just accept anything. They're just like a reed in the wind. Just blown back and forth. But we have an identity. And in Romans 8, it tells us, in verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, because of his spirit who lives in you. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought by your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are co-heirs with Christ, church. We are. We have to believe it. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a big company or you're working minimum wage for McDonald's. It doesn't matter. Your identity, your self-worth is not based upon fame or fortune, because that's what the American society is all about. It's all about that. The world is all about that. Well, what's your fame? Who knows you? How many Twitter followers do you have? Or how many Facebook likes do you have? Or fortune? Well, look what I got. I own Amazon. You know, I mean, it's just like, what is worth it? It's not. It's based on who we are in him. And the more we realize who we are in him, the greater boldness that we receive. Because what can man do to us? Really? What can man do to us? If we're one of his children, co-heirs of Christ, nothing. They can't do anything. So what if they say something bad with us? I mean, they crucified our king. I mean, the world hated Jesus. So if they say mean things to us, then yeah, that's going to happen. But we have to know that he is the most important thing in our lives, regardless of where we are or what we're doing. Satan loves to do two things. I'll give you this. He wants to keep you, number one, from salvation. And if you receive salvation, he wants to keep you ineffective. That's it. That's all he has. That's all he has. He's used it a few different ways through the ages, but that's all he's got. That's his only plan, that he can help himself defeat us and defeat the king. But he can't defeat the king, of course, because the king's already won. Come on. God has already won the battle. He's already defeated Satan. But if Satan can't get to you from salvation, he'll keep you ineffective. And that's what he can do. It's time for us, church, to become effective once again. And by knowing who we are, that's being effective. By knowing that. So I just want to have us lift our hands real quick. Just lift our hands. I just want us to lift our hands up high. And we're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, do it. Right now. Do it right now, Father. Jesus, right now. Give us revelation. Give us illumination more of who we are in you. Give us more revelation. Give us more illumination of who we are in you. That we are adopted. We are co-heirs with Christ. That we will share in the glorification of him. That we will share in the sufferings as well. But Lord, we thank you, Father, that we know who we are in you. And that is our only self-worth. And that is our backbone right there. It's our foundation. Father, reveal that to us more and more today, Father. Reveal us more and more as our week goes on. And Lord, let us be able to rest in that as well. Not get caught up in society of proving yourself to be something you're not, but being able to relax and say, thank you, Lord. I am your son. I am your daughter. That's all I need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. So number one, knowing who we are. Number two is having the right mindset and the right heart. We must be ready to fight because first of all, we got to know who we are. And when knowing who we are, our mindset and heart can be in the right place. But how many of you know we still have this flesh? Oh, it's so difficult sometimes, isn't it? I wish we didn't have it. It'd be nice. It's tough. It's not easy. But we have this flesh, and then we have culture around us. You know, that's always fun. Always, especially that if they're ungodly, then it's like, oh, you know. Right is right and right is wrong, you know, whatever, wicked is good, you know, all these different things. And then we have to have the right heart. And sometimes it's hard loving people, isn't it? People are wonderful, but people are hurtful, aren't they? I mean, we have things like bitterness and jealousy and unforgiveness. We have those things in our heart that we have to deal with. And I love how I referred to it earlier in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." We got to get our mind right. The battle is in the mind sometimes. We have to get that right. We have to know who we are. Get rid of those ungodly beliefs. Get rid of those things that are tearing us down, especially condemnation. Yes. Yes. How many of you know that if you have condemnation in your mind, it's not paying your rent, is it? Right. It's not paying your mortgage, is it? Oh, here, come on in, condemnation. Come on in my mind. Here, you can pay me rent for the month or pay me mortgage for the month. Does it do that? No, it doesn't do that. It just tears you down, makes you feel yuck inside. What about bitterness? Oh, come on in, bitterness. I know you make me feel wonderful. You make me feel so great. Oh, I love you, bitterness. No. It is in direct, I'm sure to say this right, it's the direct enemy of what God has for you and for your destiny. That's what's happening. When we let these things come in, they are keeping us from the destiny that God has called for us and the greatness that he has for us. Because he wants to do great things. But it's hard. It's not easy to get our minds right, our hearts right. I mean, Luke 6:45 says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." If your mind and your heart are full of these things, pride, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, these things, that's what's going to come out. Even though you may know who you are, which is the great stepping stone, which is a great foundation, still having that affect you is still hindering from what God wants to do in you. Come on, somebody. It's so true. And I want to, my wife's going to come up here and share a story. And I love this. Because this is something that the Lord really, really highlighted in her life about dealing with hurts, okay? So I want you just to share this because I want you to really glean from this. This is such a beautiful picture of what God did in her life.
Van and I spent 8 years serving at a church, and we came out of that feeling very used and abused. And I was just very upset at the leader there who had done this to us. And, you know, we had moved, and I was like, you know, Lord, you know, I have to forgive him. And so I said, Lord, I choose to forgive him. But the feelings are still there, right? The hurt is still there, and I needed God to heal that. And I had to be honest with God about my feelings. And I was like, Lord, I know I said I forgave him, but I think he should get what he deserves. I just want him to really feel the way he made me feel and pay for what he did to me and my family. And so the Lord said to me, well, go ahead. And I was like, okay. So in my mind, you know, because this is a conversation between me and the Lord, I turn and I see the back of this leader that did this to us. And all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm about to, like, take it out on him. I see the back of Jesus over him like this. And it's his naked back covered with stripes from being beaten. And Jesus is like, go ahead. And I was like, I'm not going to hurt you, Jesus. I can't do this. I would never do that. I love you, Jesus. And he was like, well, I already covered what he did. It's already forgiven by me, and it's covered. And I was just like, Lord, thank you that you took, you know, what he deserved, and that you do that for me, that you take what I deserved for all the times that I've hurt people. And as hard as it is to let go and just be like, you know what, Lord, I trust you that you are going to make it right, and that what judgment I feel that I need to make to get what I deserve out of this, Lord, that you've already done it, you've paid it, and that his grace makes up the difference and can still bring me healing. And so I just want to share that with you. And I just felt like God convicting me, like when I want to punish somebody, I'm putting him back on the cross again, you know, and that's not, he came and his blood was enough to cover all of that. So just to encourage you, you know, if there's someone you're struggling to forgive, just to allow yourself to picture Jesus covering them and allow that to heal your heart, that he has paid for all of our sins.
Thank you. Come on. Isn't that a powerful picture? So get rid of that stuff. I mean, yeah, we want justification. We want judgment. But it's not ours to give. Get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that hate. Let the Lord just heal your hearts on that. Regardless of who it was, whether it was a person in ministry, whether it was a family member or a friend or wherever it was, or coworker, just don't let it stay there. Get rid of it. Because it's only keeping you from your destiny. It's only keeping you from what God has in store for you. Amen. Well, let's just bow our heads right now. We're going to pray that into. We're just going to give us a moment. We're going to give our hearts just a moment to intake that, to digest that, and our minds as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you right now that your blood covers everything. Whether it's someone who desperately hurt us or someone that just cut us off in traffic the other day and we just kind of lost it. So, Father, I thank you right now that you are just doing surgery on our hearts right now. That we're able to forgive. And you're bringing up people to our remembrance of people that we need to totally forgive and move on. Because you totally forgave us. And you're using us to do great and wonderful things. So, Father, we just thank you right now that your blood covers all of our sins, all of their sins. And, Lord, we just ask, God, to help us keep our minds right, to take every thought captive, to fill our hearts with your love and with your goodness, Father, so that out of our mouth, our heart speaks of your greatness. We thank you, Father, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. So two things we've done. Knowing who we are and having the right mindset and the right heart. And we're going to look at someone today who definitely helps us do that. His name is David. So I love how we've been dancing around my sermon a little bit today. It's been hilarious. So we're going to look at David. So turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. Most people know about the story of David. Most people know about him. Little boy. But we're going to look at him when he's going against a giant. So 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to skip around a little bit. So I'm going to read in verse 22 right now. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. Well, just to give you a little backstory, David was sent by his father to go see how his brothers were on the front lines because they were fighting against the Philistines. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his illness, from his lines, and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Skipping down a little bit. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and asked him, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came here only to watch the battle. Now what have I done?" said David. "Can I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. So we're getting a little bit more of a picture of what's going on. We're going to skip a little bit further down. To verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on the account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." And then we see the last part, and the last scripture I'll read, which is in 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, struck the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank deep into his forehead and fell face down on the ground. What a story. We've all heard this. If we went to Sunday school, we know this story. We know it well. But a few things I want to highlight. So, who was David fighting against? Goliath, yes. But who could have he fought against? That's the thing. We seem to sometimes get distracted by who we're fighting. David could have fought his brothers, and David could have fought Saul, and he would have never achieved the greatness of the glorification of God through the process of slaying Goliath if he would have stopped and fought his brothers and his king. What that means today for us is that sometimes we don't know who our enemy is. We think certain people are our enemy, or we see certain authorities are our enemy. That is not true. We need to go after the Goliath, after the real enemy. Because if we get stuck on, you know, fighting against our brothers and sisters or fighting against our authority figures, then we're never going to see the giants really fall. So we have to make sure we know who we're fighting against. And it's not against, we're not fighting against our parents or our co-workers, our children, or, you know, our bosses or things like that, or even our president. Right. We're not fighting against those people. What we're fighting against is the principalities and powers behind them, right, making and influence them. That's right. Because how many of you know that our president could get saved at a moment's notice, right, and things could change, yes, completely? And our vice president. And the whole, you know, the glory of God could come so heavily on Congress, and there would be such a repentance of what has been done, and what a great thing what could happen from that. Right. Are we praying for that? Are we asking, Lord, Lord, we want to see them in your presence. Lord, we want to see them saved. We want to see them make choices that are honoring to you, Father. Or are we just going to tear them down on Facebook? Right. Because, boy, there's a lot of that. I can't go one time without looking through Facebook to see something demeaning towards our authorities. Now, I don't always agree with what they're saying, but it's not against them. It's against the evil one who's influencing. So we got to know who we're fighting against. Lord, give us clarity and discernment to know who to fight, the enemy, and what to fight. So what are we fighting with might be another question. What are we fighting with? Saul wanted to arm David with something that he was used to. Here, have my armor. You'll do great. We can't take another man's armor. We can't take another man's anointing. We have to take what God has given us. Whether it be a sling and a stone, whether it be a staff, whatever it is, whatever God has placed in you, we're all unique. God has placed individual gifts within each one of us. Tap into that. Tap into that. Because God has great things, because only you know what you can do. And God will show you. And there's going to be more gifts that he's going to give you. More weapons that you're going to be like, wow, these are so awesome. But you have to go with what you know with. And not someone else's. Now, where do we fight? We fight the battleground. And the battleground could be our mind, our heart, our home, our work, our church. The battleground can be any of those places. But we have to be ready. And remember who we're fighting against. Because when battle lines are drawn, let's go for it. Let's fight together as unity and fight the enemy. When do we fight? Well, it can be any time. It can be day or night. Sometimes the enemy will attack you in the night. Sometimes he'll attack you in the daytime. One thing was very interesting, that Goliath attacked the Israelites for 40 days. 40 days. That's a month. A little bit more than a month. How many of you have Goliaths that have been shouting at you for 40 days or longer? It's time, church. It's time to grab the victory. It's time for us to fight, knowing who we are in Christ, getting our heart right and our mind right. It's time to fight. And some might say, why are we fighting? You know, why do we fight? Because I'm tired. Why do we fight? Some people think that the church is just a country club. It's all nice. You know, you get to church, it's all nice, country club, we all have a good time. There is fellowship in the church, and there is nothing wrong with that. But it's not just a place where we can just always relax. It also is a place to glorify the King. And that requires some fighting to do, some battling to do. And we're doing it not for personal revenge, not because we hate Satan. I mean, we do not like him a lot. But we're fighting before the glorification of the King. You know, demons are subject to mine. Jesus says, don't be glad that demons are subject to your name. But be happy that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't want to give Satan any more credit than what the world gives him. I want to give Jesus all the credit. Because it's all for his glory. And then lastly, how do you win the battle? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm so glad, because I have an answer for you. How do you win the battle? Well, the battle's already won. Jesus has already won the battle. But there's one thing that we have to do to be able to walk in that victory. Did you know what that is? And this is the third thing that I was talking about earlier. Knowing who we are in him, having our heart right and our mind right, the last thing that we have to do is participate. You can't win a battle unless you participate. You can't walk in his goodness unless you participate. It's a big difference between being on the sidelines and participating. Let me tell you. Would you rather watch a show about fishing? Or would you rather catch a big fish? I'm just saying. Would you rather watch people eating oranges? Or would you rather eat an orange? I mean, come on. Would you rather watch somebody win the lottery? Or would you like to win the lottery? I'm just saying. Let me be real here. I'm not telling everybody to go out and buy lottery tickets. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, it's a big difference, isn't it? It's a difference between seeing someone healed or actually praying for someone and seeing them healed. It's a big difference. Are you willing to participate? And you have to remember that the prayers of a righteous man or woman are powerful and effective. They are. Your prayers are effective. Don't let the enemy tell you differently, because they are. So what I want to do right now is, it's time to participate. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready to participate a little bit? All right, I want everybody to stand up. Let's get everybody to stand up. It's time to participate. So what I did is, there's a song here. And I'm going to play it for you just a moment. But before I do, I feel like the Lord wants to say a few things before I get that started. And the word of the Lord that when I was praying over this was, this was going to be a banner year. This was going to be a banner year. The year that giants are going to fall. Especially those who have been taunting for 40 days or more. This is going to be a year of victory, is what the Lord was talking to me over this house. And I'm so excited, because I know God's got some great things in store for this house. And one of the things that he said to me that this year is that there are going to be family members that are going to be coming into the kingdom. Family members coming into the kingdom. That's what he told me. And I was like, come on, Lord. I want to see that. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We choose to participate today in your victory. We choose to participate today in your victory. We say, thank you, Lord. The battle is won. We thank you, Lord, that you've already ascended the throne, that you didn't fall off your throne, Father. You know what's going on in situations in this house, Father, and that you are about ready to move, oh God. We thank you, Father, so much for giving a year, a banner year, Father, a year of victory, Father, a victory over those giants, victory over those situations, Father, that have been there. Father, we thank you right now that you're about to move mightily in this house, oh God. We praise you. We say thank you, God, for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Healings, miracles, Father. Signs and wonders, Father. Prophetic. Thank you, Lord. Teachings. Thank you, Father, for ungodly beliefs going out the door. Getting rid of condemnation, getting rid of bitterness, getting rid of jealousy, pride, getting rid of all that junk, Father. This would be a holy house, Father. A place set aside for you, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So what we're going to do now, church, is I want you guys to interact. So I'm going to play a song on the video for you, play a video for you, and I want you to interact with it. It is a song, I believe, that's over this house for this next season. So I want you just to interact with it. And, you know, if you want to shout, if you want to praise God, that's great. But I want you to interact with it, okay? So it's not a time to just sit down. I know it's going to be a little different that you've never seen it before. But I want you just to interact with it and participate with what God's going to do. Because I believe this is a song for this house in 2022. Okay?